He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I do feel like this is going to be revision for everybody, given the material that we've already covered this morning. And I was very glad to, and it's been amazing, Vicky and Jono, thank you for everything that you've shared. And I am also pleased to report that there was nothing that was said already about joy that I'm going to disagree with or that contradict in any way, I don't think. But certainly by the end of this morning, these three key points that I would like to leave you with, I think they're going to be firmly lodged in your mind because you've already heard them this morning, and you're going to be we're going to be going a little bit deeper into them in a moment. So, but before I do start, I just wonder if any of you can identify with some or all of the following. It's the 14th of December, 11 days before Christmas. You've been to four end of year events at your kid's school over the past week. You've been invited to three Christmas parties in between now and Christmas, two of which are on the same day, but you can't go to any of them because you need to work extra shifts to pay for all the Christmas presents that you still haven't bought. Your child mentioned this morning that they need a secret Santa present for a friend at school tomorrow. So you're in the shops trying to find a present for $20 or less, when you know full well that the only decent present that you can buy for $20 or less are packets of lollies, and you do not want to go there. You're hosting Christmas lunch with your extended family next weekend, but you have not had time to think about that yet. You're in the shops at Woolworths and you're wandering by the meat section and you're wondering whether a sausage sandwich would cut it just once for Christmas lunch. And then, in the background, you hear a Christmas song playing. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But instead of that warm glow, that warm festive feeling, actually, what you feel is the weight of the world on your shoulders. And nothing about the time actually feels wonderful. So there's just noise, right? There's an endless list of things that you've got to do between now and the 25th of December. And there's a family gathering or two that you secretly wish that you could avoid because you can't handle your Aunt Veronica asking you one more time why you don't visit her more often. So sometimes Christmas is, and sometimes Christmas is not, the most wonderful time of the year. For some, Christmas really is a time for celebration, for family, for gifts, and for regeneration. But for others, Christmas, and especially the lead up to Christmas, is just a crazy, out of control time. Or it's a time when feelings of sadness or loneliness or pain are heightened. So when you see the sermon title, which says The Joy of Christmas, what reaction does that provoke within you? Does it feel like a truth, like the joy of Christmas? Or does it feel like a statement of fact to you? Or does a question mark linger there? One of the things that really strikes me when I read the Christmas story, there is so much joy that is woven through the Christmas story. And in fact, the opening two chapters of Luke, the numbers, the amount of stories that are in there about joy are ridiculous. So right at the start of Luke's gospel in chapter 1, so this is before Jesus is even born, we are introduced to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And if you are familiar with them, they're an older couple who have lived with the pain of being unable to have children. And into that space, the angel Gabriel appears and tells Zechariah that Elizabeth is going to have a son and that they are to name him John. And Gabriel adds the following words in chapter 1, verse 14, "You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord." And that is exactly what happens. In chapter 1, we read verse 57 and 58, it says, "When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her." And then that joy continues when we meet Mary. So her circumstances are anything but simple. She's unexpectedly pregnant, and her future is filled with uncertainty. And yet Mary responds not with despair, but with worship. We heard some of that this morning. In verse 46 and 47 of Luke chapter 1, Mary says, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. Oh, how my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." So Mary's joy doesn't come from knowing how everything is going to work out for her, but it comes out of a place of trust, trusting in God. If we keep reading in verse 44, Mary goes to Elizabeth. She goes to visit Elizabeth. And then Elizabeth tells her, "When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." So even before he is born, John responds to the nearness of Jesus. And he quite literally leaps for joy when the Christ is near. And then, of course, we come to the birth of Jesus. So we have an angel appearing to shepherds, so ordinary people doing ordinary things in the fields. And the angel announces, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." The wise men, this is captured actually in Matthew chapter 1, verse 9. The wise men, the star that the wise men had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. So when you take a moment just to read through those first few chapters, particularly of Luke, but then also in Matthew, it becomes very clear that joy runs right through the Christmas story. And long before the angels spoke to the shepherds, God's prophets were pointing towards this day. So in Isaiah, Isaiah spoke of a people walking in darkness who would see a great light, of a land shadowed by despair where a light would dawn. And he foretold the birth of a child, a son given to us, who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the joy that we read about in Luke doesn't just come from nowhere. It's the fulfillment of a promise that was made 700 years earlier. But then this challenges us. It raises an important question for us. Because if joy is everywhere in the Christmas story, and if it shows up in places of waiting and uncertainty and hardship and pain, then what is that? What kind of joy is that? What even makes joy possible when our lives are so messy and when things are so uncertain? So, three key points for today. If you remember nothing more than these three key points, it will be a good day. It will be a good morning. So, here we go. Point number one. You have heard this morning, but I agree. Joy is more than just happiness. Happiness is a response to what is going on around us, and it's often tied to favorable circumstances. So, someone gives you a present. You get a promotion at work. The sun's shining, or it's rained after being dry for a long period. So in those moments, we can feel happy, right? Happiness is good. It's a good thing, don't get me wrong. But the problem is that happiness can be fragile, and sometimes happiness doesn't last very long. So the present that you receive turns out to be something that you've already got. Or the promotion that you get at work means that actually you have to work longer hours and there's more expectation on you. Many years ago, I was playing a game of cricket. It was the first game of the season. And I scored 89 not out in that first round. And that was after, like, the year before, if I'd got 20, I was like, yes, 20. 89 not out. And I was so happy after that. And I was so excited for the next week. I'm in form, I've got this, this is all good. I couldn't sleep the night before. I was so excited about being able to go out and bat again. First ball of the match, Nick out, golden duck. My bubble had burst. And I then had the pleasure of watching the guy who I opened the batting with and the guy who came in next both score hundreds. That was the next 6 hours of my Saturday afternoon. Happiness is often dependent on what is happening to me. If people treat me well, if things are going smoothly, if life is manageable, I'm happy. But when circumstances change, when life becomes difficult, when relationships are strained or our plans don't go as we want them to go or expect them to go, then our happiness can fall away. And that is especially true at Christmas. Because there's often this unspoken pressure that we should all be happy, right, for Christmas. To enjoy every moment, to live up to all the expectations and the pressures that this is the most wonderful time of the year, right? And then when our reality doesn't match that expectation, then we can feel like there's something wrong with us. But joy is not the same as happiness. Joy is a deeper, longer-lasting internal state of contentment or well-being that is independent of external events. It is a security that comes from knowing who God is and what He has done for us. And it is not dependent on what is happening around us. It is not just an emotional response to something good happening to us. So in that sense, joy is not based on a feeling, it's based on knowing that God loves us and that He is with us, and knowing that He is at work even when we actually can't see it for ourselves. In Romans, the famous passage, Romans 8:28, Paul says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." So, first point, joy is more than happiness. Second point, the Christmas story reveals Jesus as being the source of joy. Great joy, in inverted commas, is actually quite rare in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. Now, according to scholars who are far more knowledgeable than me, joy appears throughout the Old Testament, but great joy only shows up a handful of times. And it generally happens at times of highly significant events. It's mentioned in Kings, 1 Kings, when Solomon is crowned king. It's mentioned in 2 Chronicles, when God's people rediscover the Passover under King Hezekiah. And it's also referenced in Nehemiah, when the walls of Jerusalem are rebuilt after exile. So, yeah, while joy is prominent in the Old Testament, great joy is extremely rare and extremely special. But when we come to the New Testament, suddenly we see that people are experiencing great joy again. The angels appear to shepherds. So they don't appear to priests or kings, but to shepherds, ordinary shepherds, and they announce good news of great joy. The wise men see a star and rejoice with exceedingly great joy. Okay, so I'm going to have a crack at the Greek, which is going to be interesting to see how I go. I hope this is okay. The Greek phrase that's used is Karan Magdalene. Do you know? Anybody know? Karan Magdalene, which literally means mega joy. And what's striking...
Magdalene is large.
Yep. Magdalene. Karan. C-H-A-R-A-N. Karan. Mega joy. So interestingly, those two words don't appear together again until the morning after the resurrection, when the women leave the empty tomb with fear and great joy, running to tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. So that tells us something really important, that the joy of Christmas is not sentimental joy or surface-level happiness. It's not dependent on circumstances or on our, you know, whether our life is easy or not. The joy of Christmas is the mega joy of redemption. Joy is not found in the manger because the circumstances are ideal, right? It's not where Mary was choosing to go. Joy is found there because God himself has come near. So for us, what that means is that we can experience joy even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of grief and pain and hardship, not because life is easy and we feel happy or not happy, but because God is with us. And not only is God with us, God is for us. It says in Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? So that's the joy of Christmas. Not the absence of hardship or pain, but the presence of Christ. All right, point number three. Joy comes from being connected to God. So Jesus is very clear about where joy comes from. In John 15, he gives us the image of a vine and its branches. I'm going to read this. Can everyone see that? I'm going to read this section to you. So this is verse 5 and 6 of John 15, and then verse 10 and 11. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So Jesus is saying that joy is not something that you strive for. It's something that grows within us when we're connected to the source. So a branch doesn't strain to produce fruit. It doesn't wake up in the morning thinking, okay, I'm going to like work hard and I'm going to be more fruitful today. It stays connected. That is how it produces fruit. Then that's how Jesus speaks about joy. What's also striking is that Jesus doesn't want us just to feel joyful. He says he wants his joy to be in us. Which then raises a deeper question, which is where does Jesus' joy come from? So the passage in John suggests that it comes from a relationship with the Father, from a deep, abiding connection, from knowing that he is loved and never alone. So Jesus' joy is coming from intimacy with the Father. And then Jesus turns to us and says, remain in me. Not try harder, not sort yourself out, pull yourself together. Just remain in me, be with me, be close to me. So yeah, there's a lot of talk these days about well-being is a good thing. The reason it's such a big thing is because people are tired, right? People are stretched. People are doing more and more and more. But biblical well-being is deeper than just feeling calm or feeling like life is under control. It's about flourishing in the life that you were created for. And at the heart of that is relationship. It's about being connected to God. And when that connection is there, something begins to grow within us. And again, we talked John O talked about this before, about, you know, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And that these, the fruits, they are the result of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. They are given to us. So joy is something that grows when God's Spirit is alive and active within us. And that is really important for us, and it's a real encouragement to all of us, because it means that joy is not just reserved for people whose lives are going really well or when circumstances are in our favor. So if you belong to Christ, the promise is, for all of us, the promise is that the Spirit of God is already at work in you, which means that joy is possible for you even when you don't feel like it, even when things are uncertain, even when you don't feel happy or when happiness is out of reach. Doesn't mean that joy is automatic. It needs, like any fruit, it needs tending. And it grows as we cultivate the relationship and as we remain connected through prayer, through reading the word, through worship. So when we look back at the Christmas story, we can start to make some sense of what we see there. Joy is present, not because people's lives are suddenly easy, but because Jesus is near. Mary is rejoicing even though her life has been turned upside down. Elizabeth's child leaps for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. The shepherds rejoice in the middle of the night. The wise men rejoice after their long journey. So all of these examples show that joy flows wherever Christ is present. So, 3 points. Joy is more than happiness. The Christmas story reveals Jesus as the source of joy, and joy comes from being connected to God. So, I think we, just as we draw to a close this morning, I just want to encourage you that for some, Christmas really is the most wonderful time of the year, but for others, it's not, or it's complicated. But the good news of Christmas is that it's not that we're supposed to feel happy or feel joyful all the time. The joy that we see in the Christmas story doesn't come from perfect circumstances. It comes from when we draw near to God and when we allow God to draw near to us. So it's something that we receive, and then it's something that grows within us as we stay connected to God. So if you're feeling joyful this right now, this week, this season, give thanks. That's a great thing. If you're not, or if joy feels distant or fragile, know this, and I just encourage you to reflect on this, that God is still near. He is with you. And the promise is from God that he will meet you wherever you're at. You just need to be open to him.